Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday. Yes, it is. June 4th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much. This is our first program, you and me, in June.
It is. We're almost halfway through a year.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. It is amazing. I mean, sometimes I gotta stop and remember what day it is. That's how busy it gets sometimes.
I know it. I know it. And let's go ahead and see how busy gold was today. We had some pressure in gold early on in the day, but she managed to turn around even after a 450-point uptick in the Dow. So gold right now is $13.27, up $1.30. We had a low of $13.19 today and a high of $13.2960. So good day for gold. Silver is up 4 pennies, almost at $15. $14.91. Platinum was down a dollar at $824. Palladium had a good day. Of course, we'll talk about why here shortly. Up 18 at $1,352. The USDX today was down another 0.19 at 97.04. Crude oil was up a whole 33 cents at 53.58. It was funny, I saw a headline today. Oh, crude oil's recovering. Big day. It's up 0.33. I just had to chuckle. Just had to chuckle at that. And the paper markets today, you have the, stocks just had their second best day of the year. And yes, you know, last week it was, you know, the worst since the Depression. So it just cracks me up, the headlines. But let me go ahead and I pulled up the wrong website here, ladies and gentlemen. Pulled up the wrong numbers. The Dow was up 511 points.
Wow.
That moved up, changed in the last couple minutes. 25,331. Got it back up over 25. That's the magic number. The NASDAQ recovered the Dow was up 2%. The NASDAQ was up 2.65%. 194 points at 7,527. The S&P was up 58, 2,803, and that was up a little over 2%. 10-year yield is still holding at 2.12. It did dip, but it is was up 0.04. Germany was up 1.5% overnight, and this all comes on the tail where the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, has signaled the central bank is willing to ease monetary policy to save the economy as trade tensions eased amid comments by China and Mexico. So, again, I go back to this question, you know, how good is our economy if the markets respond that, the central banks are going to be there to ease to save the economy? What needs to be saved when the economy is good?
And what does that mean?
I don't get it.
What's that mean, you're going to ease? What are they going to ease?
Well, they're going to lower the rates, free money.
It's almost nothing now.
I know. The multinational corporations, they can't handle their debt. And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. All these buyback shares was all done on debt. So when these corporations would roll over their debt with higher rates, it killed them. So they need lower rates to keep that going, to keep the charade going. But you know what? Nobody cares. As long as that number is 25,000, everybody is fat and happy. As long as you get your quarterly statements from your financial planner and it's doing well, everybody's happy. No one questions anything. And I get in trouble for questioning it. Yes, that's why Jerome Powell said he signaled that the central bank was open to easy monetary policy to save the economy. And Powell says we're watching the market. He says the market starts believing in a Powell put This was the chief market strategist at SunTrust, a private wealth. He said sentiment became extremely negative on a short-term basis. And Powell said the central bank will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion. So, you know, I guess Jerome Powell did get on President Trump's, they're working together now. So, you know, it's so there. Yeah, it's so out in the open, Butch.
Well, will the Fed print more money now that the interest rates are going to be easier to borrow? Will they need more money? Would they print more, make it worth less? How's that going to work?
I don't understand your...
Well, I mean, would they issue more credit?
Yeah, we have a fiat. Absolutely.
So if they do that, would that not cause inflation on the dollar?
Well, they've been able to control they've been able to lie to the American people.
They're lying. They are lying. It's going to increase inflation. It makes sense. And there's no choice here. They can lie about all they want to, but if you out there and every day and you're just a common man or woman and you're trying to make a living, buy groceries and buy whatever, you know inflation is not under control. It goes up every time.
And you know that and who benefited from these comments today? Well, the banks.
Of course.
Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, they all traded more than 3.5% higher. Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase rose 2.8% and 2.6% respectively. So, you know, I understand people who have their pension plans and retirement accounts. It is important to them. I get that. But it isn't real. The day of reckoning, and you're going to lose. And most people who have large amounts in their retirement accounts and their pensions and so forth, they get it. They understand that they have a lot to lose. But they're betting. They're gambling. They're gambling that maybe they'll outlive their money before this whole thing collapses or whatever. I don't know. But it's interesting. And there's no turnaround, ladies and gentlemen. Our economy, I believe, is probably the best that we're going to see. The tariffs on Mexico, do you really believe the auto manufacturers are going to bring manufacturing back to this country from Mexico? Yeah, if you guys, whoever works for the GM and Ford and all the other ones that are here are willing to take $6, $7 an hour. So, and the tariffs.
And very few benefits on top of that.
Yeah. And you know, and again, tariffs on Mexico, we can't fix our own problem. We can't address our own, and I don't want to hear that, it's the Democrats that are keeping it from, but no. You know, it's the Republicans had 2 years.
That's right.
And they couldn't get it done. They don't want to get it done. It's not going... If we can't fix our own problems and we have to ask other countries to help us, how does that show any strength? To me, it doesn't make sense. You know, and, you know, Butch, I was reading today, one area, and again, I don't believe there's going to be Mexican tariffs. If they do the first leg of 5%, it's going to be short term. That's not going to happen. And I think one reason is because of the energy trade. I didn't realize that we imported so much oil from Mexico. And so I was reading a little bit about this today. Mexico sends 600,000 to 700,000 barrels of oil to the U.S. every day, mostly to refiners that process the crude into gasoline, diesel, and other products. Do you really believe these tariffs are going to go on there? And, of course, they could waive this tariff on this. Maybe they wouldn't attach it to the oil. I had no idea that they sent us that much. In fact, they're number two.
Wow. I did not know that either. I did not
Canada
know that.
Canada's number one.
Wow.
So it's, tariffs could add $2 million to the cost of daily Mexican crude purchases by the U.S. refineries. And then you have to remember who owns the biggest refineries, the Saudis. In fact, they own two of them, I believe. So do you think the Saudis are going to appreciate, and if they do, it's all going to funnel down to the purchaser, to you and me.
Of course.
So it's, I don't know. Again, you don't know what's going to happen. But if the tariffs will be placed on them, I don't think they will. But I think it was just a threat. And if they do, it'll be for a very short term. But we'll see.
You know, it's only time can tell on this. But, you know, we're watching things happen all over the world. And we'll get more guest detail in a minute. But, you know, you already covered this. If you did, let me know. But I was reading an article just the other day about Venezuela. And even the criminals down there are going broke. I'm serious. I'm really serious. It says there's nothing left to steal. They can't even afford to buy bullets for a dollar apiece. So the criminals in Venezuela are crying because there's no point to robbing anybody because they don't have anything any longer. So you go figure. I mean, it's not funny. It really is sad. I mean, sad as criminals to begin with. But when criminals can't make a living in a country, you know they're scraping the bottom. I mean, isn't that a good point?
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of interesting information about Venezuela. There's supposed to be some sort of a meeting. President Trump said that Russia was getting out of Venezuela. Russia said they're not. So we don't know if they are, if they're not. But I heard they were having some sort of a meeting somewhere. I don't recall. So I think Maduro is beginning to maybe soften his stance a little bit. I'm not sure. So we'll see if that happens. But
well, I can't imagine why the Russians would pull out. They have a lot invested down there. I can't imagine they would. They may. But I can't imagine why. It's not because they're afraid of us, obviously.
No, I can't imagine that they would either. But I do think, you know, they do need to come to some sort of, you know, something has to be done. So
I agree.
Perhaps Venezuela is at that point where, you know, agreements will be made. Now, whether Maduro stays in there or not, who knows? But I do believe, and I wanted to follow up on that, but I can't find anything on that. So what's next, Butch?
Well, I just wanted to talk about Venezuela and his opponent, Caldo, I believe. How do you pronounce his last name? Caldo?
Guaido.
Have you heard anything about him lately? I haven't found anything current on him for a while. Have you heard anything about where he is and what he's doing?
No, I think he's still around, but he's losing support, even though he's got most of the support of the Western countries. He's slowly losing it, but...
Do you think he's staying quiet for his own safety now?
Who knows?
I mean, it is interesting. I mean, he was gaining momentum really, really quickly there. I mean, he was really going, you know, people were rioting about it, and he was calling for more riots, and all of a sudden, he just, like a puff of smoke, and he's going. So, I don't know. Just
well,
thought it was kind of curious.
We were kind of boisterous, too. And, we were kind of, you know, pushing him and supporting him, and,
right.
You know, and then all of a sudden, it's like, nah. You know, we're not going to war with, you know, and so I do think that Russia and perhaps China, and, you know, I'm not going to say Cuba was there, but I did see our there's traveling restrictions for United citizens, U.S. citizens to Cuba were placed. So I'm not quite sure what those restrictions are. I didn't read that, but I did see the headline that there are restrictions.
Well, you know, some countries are warning their citizens about not coming to the United States. It's not safe. Interesting.
China has warned.
Yes, he has. They have. Don't come here. I mean, and they got a good point. But, you know, it's really sad. But, they not only tell them not to go over there for whatever reason, they tell them not to come here. The division on a worldwide level is getting greater. It truly is, whether you like it or not. But you may have read this also, and I'm bringing up points. Go ahead.
I just want to add this about the travel to Cuba. It ended today, the most popular forms of U.S. travel to Cuba, banning cruise ships and a heavily used category of educational travel in attempt to cut off cash to the island's communist government. So travel was opened up, and in 2016 under Obama, and that has now ceased.
Interesting. And
the Cuban government the Cuban government imposed food rationing last month as a result of tightened U.S. sanctions and a drop in subsidized oil and other aid from Venezuela. For the Cuban government, cruise travel generated many millions of dollars a year in docking fees and payments for onshore excursions. Cuba has also become the most requested destination for many South Florida-based cruise lines.
Wow.
So, you know, we're hurting Cuba because of Venezuela. So.
Interesting. And you may read this, but this I want to ask about this. You probably read that Malaysia is proposing a common Asian gold-backed currency. You probably saw that, right?
Yeah, it's been chatter for a while, yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was out just a couple of days ago, but they said they won't use, of course, for domestic transactions, but for, you know, imports and exports. And if they would do that, that could change the trade war. It could change a lot of things for a block of nations, Asian nations. To actually do that could put a really big hurt on the dollar, could it not?
Well, it really could. And I mean, I think you know, there's a lot of chatter, and you know, some of it happens, some of it doesn't. But the point is, the chatter is there, and it's just a matter of time until we begin to see that pressure. I mean, there's systems that are opening up all over the place so where other countries can trade in something other than the U.S. dollar. And I've said this for 20, I don't know how many years, eventually gold will be used to stabilize the currencies. And I think it'll be thrown in a percentage with the basket of currencies. It'll become a one-unit trade for global trade. But they need something to stabilize it other than some sort of an agreement to where countries just disregard and do it anyway. But if you have gold in there to balance out the basket of currencies, and I think other countries will be added to the basket, you know, it'll help stabilize it and will make manipulating their currencies a little more difficult. So then that's what I believe is eventually going to happen. So.
Well, the petrodollar just about finished. You know that. That kept us stable for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have what, 85-90% of the world transactions done in the dollar.
Yes, you do right now. Yes.
Yeah, and the dollar is not. I don't believe the dollar is going to just going to disappear. You know, I believe there's going to be pressure. It's going to lose value. It's going to create inflation. Either they will have to replace the dollar, or they'll stabilize it somehow, some way. And gold is a way to do that. And then there will be other open lines to use for trade other than the dollar. So yeah, it is being replaced, but I don't think the dollar is just going to disappear overnight. But it can go from, you know, 90 down to 60 really quick.
Yes.
You know, or 50 really quick. And if that happens, all your purchasing power, ladies and gentlemen, is gone in a whisper. We'll be right back right after these few short commercials. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I don't know what you had next, Butch.
Got several things. You know, I was just thinking, you said gold was 13, 20 something today, I believe you said.
When you weren't paying attention?
I was trying to get my head together. If they would have bought this 2 weeks ago, they could have saved about $50 an ounce.
They could.
I mean, really, think about that. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's quite an uptick. And we haven't seen anything yet, folks. I promise. You remember back some years ago, it was around $1,700 now. Do you remember that?
Well, of course I do.
Okay. So,
I'm not that old yet.
Folks, it's going to go up. It is going to go up. It has no way to go but up eventually. It may bounce around a little bit, but it's going to go up. And the sad part of it, Melody, gold and silver really don't change in value. It's the dollar fluctuates around them, and people just don't get that sometimes. Gold and silver are constant. They're 1 ounce. Well, 1 ounce. They're 1 ounce of precious metal. A dollar is a piece of paper worth 3 cents today and 5 cents tomorrow. So gold and silver are a constant that are totally reliable in any time, good or bad, to be worth something. Isn't that true?
That is very true.
And when you're holding paper, let's say you put back $100,000 or $10,000 in a savings account or somewhere in your gun safe or whatever, say gun safe, where you want to put it. Every day that cash becomes worth less and less. And I don't know if everybody stops to think about that. They probably don't. Most people don't. But when you stop and think about that, that means every day that what you're trying to build up in some way to save for your retirement becomes less value every day. Whereas gold and silver, at best, will hold its own forever. At worst. And it will go up in value compared to the currencies around it. And I don't know why we can't grasp that idea, because it's the safest way to put back for retirement, have hard assets in your hand, not paper assets, of gold and silver that you can always move on to somebody else, sell whatever, and have something of value to live on. Now, that to me is just common sense. I didn't know that for years. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying that's the way it is. So if you're saving dollars, you're saving paper. It's going to decrease in value every day. And that, my friends, will add up in the long run to cost you a lot of money. I just had to say it, Melody, because I don't know if sometimes we get so deep into things we complicate maybe too much to the point that we don't always understand what we're saying. But I want people to understand that it's just that easy. You have paper. I don't care what's bonds. I don't care whether it's stocks. If you have paper put back, you got paper put back. And paper is paper. But if you have gold and silver put back, it is a constant weight. It won't deteriorate in weight. It'll stay the same weight forever. So to me, that makes sense. Put back something that's going to maintain its value no matter how bad the economy is. It's going to be worth something. Isn't that true?
You're absolutely correct.
So I don't understand what the problem is with people that are hesitant to buy gold or silver. I really don't. I was trying to find some figures here. I saved one time on the dollar decrease, and I don't know where I put it, but I'll find it sometime later on. But how much has decreased in the last several years compared to gold and silver and what it's worth today? And I can't find it right now. I'm looking for it, but I'll find it maybe later and share it, because it's amazing how much the dollar deteriorated and how much gold and silver increased in value over the years. Totally amazing. But anyway, we'll go back to something else here. I was sharing during the break with you about the 10 largest cities in the world, or in the nation, and what their per taxpayer debt is. Now, folks, this is for real. And my question is, how can any single taxpayer, even in the lowest city, which is Phoenix, carry this burden and transfer it? I mean, all they can do, if they don't pay it in one lump sum, they never catch up. And in Phoenix, each taxpayer would have to pay $13,290 to balance the budget right now. Really, most people I know doesn't have over $13,000 laying around, do they?
No, they don't. Not when they can't come up with $400 for an emergency.
There you go. In San Antonio, folks, listen to this. These are real figures. In order to break even right now, if every San Antonian pays taxes, will chip in $16,660, they catch up on the bills. They fall behind again, but they catch up for a little bit. In Houston, $22,940. In Dallas, we think Texas is being a really wealthy state, and everything's just rosy. But in Dallas, the city debt is so great, it would take $33,490 per taxpayer to catch up. In San Diego, $35,410. San Jose, $43,120. Philadelphia, $50,120. Los Angeles, where the rats overrunning City Hall, we'll cover that after a while maybe. The rats are literally overrunning City Hall in Los Angeles. $56,390 per taxpayer to catch up. New York City. Do I now?
The two-legged rats.
Really, that's true too. They were there first.
They were there first. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry. New York City, $85,600 per taxpayer. And Chicago, $119,110, Melody, for each taxpayer to just catch up on the debt right now. Now, isn't that amazing? And how will they ever, who's going to be able to say, we can do this, let's go ahead and get it and turn this debt off? And even if they did, if they could pay it off today, at the way they're spending it, how would it make any difference in a year from now? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it's really sad. And in Chicago, where it has about the strictest gun laws in the country, Chicago is the most in debt, and this may go hand in hand, I don't know.
It does.
But it does. In Chicago, had 58 people shot and 8 of them killed this past weekend. The most violent weekend in Chicago this year. And Melody, that has to be a lie because there's no guns allowed in Chicago. And when there's gun-free zones, no one carries a gun because they don't want to break the law. Isn't that true?
That is true.
So how can this happen? How can they have shooters in Chicago when they're not allowed to carry guns? That didn't make any sense to me. So you mean if they were allowed to carry guns, it'd be worse? Come on, people. Think about this.
Hey, do you want to hear a good one? I think this was Baltimore, the mayor of Baltimore. Because we all know Baltimore is just as bad as Chicago. Just didn't get the headlines, but it's just as dangerous and violent as Chicago is. The mayor came out with a plan to help eliminate all this violence, and that's to set up a public boxing arena. So when they're upset, they can go into the boxing ring and fight it out, and they'll feel much better afterwards, and they'll settle their disagreements within the boxing range. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, for someone to even consider that or talk about it, I mean, these people don't have a clue, do they?
They have no answers, that's for sure. I mean, they have no answers. If it work on city level, let's go and put on nice. Let's put Putin and Trump and Un and all them in a boxing in a ring. Let them go at it. Last man standing wins. How'd that be?
I mean, it's. But this was for the city of Baltimore, for the gangs. I mean,
I know.
And then someone had actually called in and said, well, when I was in high school back in the '60s. Our teacher did that. If we had, if the guys would have to,
they did. I was
going
to say the same thing.
And
yes.
They fox it. And I'm thinking to myself, number one, we're talking about gang members. These guys aren't, they're not in high school or junior high and have a little disagreement with their fellow students. I mean, these are hardened criminals, drug addicts, and they're going to go into the ring and fight it out. Insanity.
It is
complete
insanity.
Insanity.
Gun control is insanity. It doesn't work, and it's been proven over and over. But every time we hear somebody doing a shooting, it's always a gun's fault. That just happened in Virginia, you know. The guy had two handguns of silencers, and they had multi rounds, you know. And they call them clips. You're not clips of magazines, but nonetheless, you know, this is all hype. This is all feel goodism. It won't work. It has never worked. All it does is eventually enslave the people. That's all it boils down to. But that's the way it is. So. Yeah, Melody, I mean, I understand about the boxing gloves. I mean, when I was 7th, 8th grade, Mr. Schoonover would have us box out if we had to. He'd call the other classes in. He'd open the doors in between the classrooms. Everybody would come and have a seat and watch you box it out. Now, of course, today, he'd be put in jail for that. But that's what it did back then.
I mean, it's almost like the stress boxes or the stress closet. You can go in. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, oh, my gosh.
It's anyway, insane. It's insane.
It is.
And you probably saw that U.S. factory orders the slowest growth since Trump was elected. You probably saw that.
Yes, but, I did. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Yes, go ahead.
And the U.K. retail sales crashed by most on record, and global manufacturing PMI contracts hits a 7-year low. I think all those go hand in hand, don't you?
It does.
I mean, the factory orders slow down because they're not being sold. And the U.K. hits the lowest crash in retail sales on record. And the worldwide global manufacturing PMI contracts are to the lowest in 7 years. So I think, folks, it's not just in America. It's worldwide. The economies are starting to slow down, would be a nice way to say it. And maybe in some areas kind of crumble. And what's going to happen when May leaves as prime minister? Melody, what do you think is going to be next?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, they extended the Brexit, you know, till this fall, October 31st, which I think is a classic date, but for that. But I don't know. I guess it just depends on who replaces her.
I mean, Trump's over there now, of course, and there's a lot of unrest, we'll say. And Prince Harry, they said, wouldn't even hardly talk to President Trump because he supposed to make some kind of remark about Markham. I don't know about that. I don't know. But I know that people are rioting because it's over there. So it's amazing.
Trump did not call her nasty.
I didn't even look at that, so I don't know. When I see this, it's just childish. I don't even pay attention to it.
It is childish, but what had happened is they had said something about she was going to move out of the United States. Well, heck, she was living in Canada to begin with. And they said that he says, well, now she doesn't have to move or something like that. He says, but I didn't know she was nasty, meaning he didn't know that she was nasty towards him. That's what he said. And they just take it so much out of context, even as stupid and silly as it is. And there was something else with a little spat that he got into it with the mayor. Now, I'm not fond of their mayor over there. But all they're talking about is everything that Trump said about the mayor. But they didn't say anything about how the mayor started the whole deal. And Trump was just responding in the manner that Trump does. And everybody knows it, and they just set him up, and he does it, and then the media just ignores, you know, the true beginnings of it. But I'm, you know, Trump didn't say anything wrong, and you know, it is kind of nice every once in a while to, you know, to see a president stand up and say, "You're an idiot." But hey,
well, you know, Melody, if they don't start playing nice, you might have to put him in the corner.
Maybe. Put him in a boxing ring, like you said.
There you go. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, this for whatever Trump did, he certainly brought in a lot of contention ever since he's been in office, hadn't he? Whether it's good or bad, a lot of contention.
Whether it's good or bad. It's action. It's not the same as it was. But I did see here an interesting conversation this morning from Richard House. And Haas, I can't, but he's head of the CFR. Council of Foreign Relations, and he was actually talking about how the world is changing, and they were talking about the meeting or the dinner where the Queen had come out and said, you know, you have to remember all of these the global institutions and so forth. And basically what he said is we are truly at a crossroads, and he says it can go either way at this point in time. He says it can be, you know, when Trump gets out of office, it can go back to the globalists. You know, he didn't say these words, but this is what he was meaning, or back to the New World Order, where there was, you know, pretty much you know, even though they were eliminating people's rights and liberties and so forth, but there was a relative supposed calm. He says, or it'll break out, and he says it will be very, very nasty. And I think that's what they're, you know, it's going to be very, very nasty. I don't think we're going back to a quiet time anymore. I think we're beyond that. And it's going to be very, very nasty. It was interesting to hear him because, you know, he's leader of the New World Order. You know, he's part of it. And along with Brzezinski and everything else, they were the globalists. They were the elite. They had played big parts in our government to get us down this road. And but he says we're at the crossroads. And he says it could get, at this point it could go either way. He says, and he says it's just not in one spot. It's everywhere. So he says that the globalist institution, the international institution, he says, is breaking down. And I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. And I don't know what's going to happen between now and 2020. I mean, no one does but God. I mean, some people may have some plans, but they don't even know themselves unless God lets it be this way. But I look for the election to be nasty. I do. Really nasty. And cause more division in countries than it's ever been caused. I was reading here the article about North Carolina says Biden is ahead of Trump in North Carolina by 12 points, 56-44%. But that's not all.
Elizabeth
Warren, pardon?
12 points isn't 12
much. 12 points. Elizabeth Warren is ahead. Now, Elizabeth Warren is ahead at 50% support. Bernie Sanders is ahead at 54-46%. Pete Buttigieg, guess what I call the pervert, is ahead 52-48. But well, that's true. It's what he is, a Buttigieg.
Go ahead.
And Kamala Harris is even ahead of him 51-49. So in the Tar Heel State, North Carolina, Trump is not looking so well. Especially, you know, I mean, that's when you see these
warning, they're ahead, but they're not ahead by much.
No, they're not. But the point of it is, all together, I mean, all of them together are way ahead if they combine them all together. And if one of them gets it with all the votes that are for the Warren, go to Biden, maybe. You see what I'm saying?
Agreed.
So I don't know. You know, it's just, it's going to be nasty. I really don't know what's going to happen. And could we go to war to cause things to turn around, maybe financially, and keep things somewhat normal? And I don't know, Melody. Every time there's a mess, we get in some kind of battle, and it seems like people gather around the flag and start saying God bless America and forget about the situation. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, I don't either, but we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back from our break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, we were talking about the boxing matches, you know, and here I just saw a headline, they're looking at dodgeball as an unethical tool of oppression. I mean, it's like,
run that by me again. It's a what?
Dodgeball. It's an unethical tool of oppression, is what researchers are saying. It's a moral problem that dodgeball encourages students to aggressively single others out for dominance.
Oh,
and to
my.
Enjoy that dominance as a victory. Isn't that called winning?
It is. And it's probably, can you imagine what to think about tag?
I know.
Anyway. We are turning our children, especially the young boys, into a bunch of pansies. We're doing that. We truly are. We're making them pansies. You know, I mean, I don't know what else word to use. Somebody call them soy boys. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But we don't let them express their manlyhood, their maleness, if you want to call it that. It's got to the point now that they become so wimpy and so falsely tender that it destroys them in the long run. I mean, gee whiz, this is sad.
And you Canadians, this is a Canadian, this article is from Canadian Society for the Study of Education. They meet in Vancouver at the Congress of the Humanities and Social Sciences. A trio of education theorists is going to argue that dodgeball is not only problematic, and again, it's the modern sense of displaying hierarchies of privilege based on athletic skill, but that it is outright miseducative. Let me read this, and then we'll move on. Dodgeball is just not unhelpful to the development of kind and gentle children who will become decent citizens of a liberal democracy.
There you go.
It is actively harmful to this process. Isn't that amazing?
Who sits around and thinks of these things?
I don't know, but what's sad is people accept this.
Oh yeah, of course it sounds pretty. It just sounds like everything just right.
Yeah.
My goodness. You know, the thought process in our lifetime, Bill, even time you and I were youngins, have certainly changed in a lot of different ways. I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV, but I watch the night. Happen to turn on a certain channel, Red Skelton. Remember Red Skelton?
I do.
You know, some of the things he said on the Dare of the Day would make him the worst bigot and hater in the world. He made fun of an overweight lady. You know, and he called somebody a midget. I mean, today that is a no. You don't do that. I mean, back then there was nothing to it. No one meant anything by it. Vulgar about it. It's just the way people spoke and it shared. No one could find anything about it.
No, but there was a difference. There was a difference in which you could say something and another way that was hateful. There was actually two ways that you could, actually present something to where one was just a comment. But today, that division, again, they redefine everything and now there is no separation. So when something's so meaningless that someone could say, you're right, they take it to the ninth degree, and all of a sudden it's hateful, racist, and so forth, and that really wasn't the intention.
No,
I mean,
at all.
It's just like, and it's, I don't know if it, you know, it's, we can't even tell jokes anymore.
No, you really can't. I mean, I know this. Of course, I was older. It was when I got in the military. But, you know, people, there are different names. You know, Paul, of course, and Durkee, and all kinds of different names. You know, we call each other Polacks or Wops or whatever. Didn't mean anything by it. We were friends, for goodness sake. Had nothing to do with nationalities and derogatory remarks. We were friends. We picked on each other. What happened to that freedom to do that?
And if it did, and if you did say something to somebody and it offended them, you didn't do it, you know, and you apologized.
And moved on.
And it was never done by hate, and now today everything is hate.
It is so sad. It is so sad. But, well, I guess we're moving on to something else here. You probably saw that Amazon offered a job to a Pentagon official who's involved with a $10 billion contract that Amazon wants. You probably saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
And one of hers may be a... something underhanded going on there. I'm just curious. I mean, you know, I just don't know that. But to offer a job to somebody that may vote your way for a $10 billion contract seems kind of a conflict of interest to me. And Google had a problem. Their network went down, and some of the people that they call them Nest users couldn't get into their homes. Their homes are run by, you know, I guess their eye, whatever, touch, but they couldn't get to, couldn't open their doors. They couldn't get in. So that's not good. And on top of that, nations now are starting to talk about shutting down the internet for the whole country. Well, this is, I'll just read this to you real quickly. Around the world, governments are hitting on a modish new idea: turn the internet off. Sometimes they mean it literally. Methods vary, but the trend is clear enough. Countries are increasingly ordering telecoms and other companies to block network access, shut down messaging services, or otherwise restrict digital applications or websites, usually citing public order or national security concerns. In extreme cases, internet access can be blocked out entirely. Worldwide, such shutdowns rose to, now listen to this, worldwide, such shutdowns rose to 188 last year, up from 75 in 2016. Amelia, is that not control of commerce?
Of course.
I mean, think about this. Who are you going more that they don't do everything on computer? You buy a gallon of gas. What do they ring it up on? You go to McDonald's. They can't spell anymore, so they punch pictures. And it's all done by computer. If they would shut all this down, and the internet that keeps everybody linked in the world, on the worldwide internet, world wide web, WWW, by the way, which is a Hebrew number for 666. Think about that. But nonetheless, all this interconnection, if they shut it down, how bad would it hurt the shipping economies of this world and people's jobs in any nation? How bad would that hurt us? That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the flip of a switch, and the economy's gone. People, I'm not making this up. They did it in 188 places last year. Would that be a way, Melody, to shut off nations that you don't like, and if you happen, would happen to go to war, shut off communications where they couldn't talk to each other? Would that be a good way to do it and keep people like the citizens of a nation from organizing to stop whatever may be coming in? Would that be a good way to do it?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I believe India is more often than in any other countries combined have been shut down. And so, yeah, I mean, these drawbacks can be severe.
So I don't know if people are consider this or not, but we are too dependent. We are far too dependent on internet, cell phones, electronics. Far, far, far too dependent on it. I know for a fact from watching people I know personally, if their phones ever went down, they would have a hissy fit. I mean, you talk about uncontrolled anger if they couldn't get on their telephones, and panic. I can't talk to my son or daughter or whatever. Panic, Melody, panic. And we become so dependent on this. And you and I get our news off the internet to do the radio show. We do things by computer on our doing a radio broadcast. If all that went down today, communication would stop. What would that mean?
Yeah.
That's just a little bit on the scary side. And it could happen any time. You know that.
Yes, I do.
And I was talking big about rats in L.A. City Hall. You mentioned politicians, two-legged. I agree with that. But Tamela Kingahan, 52, sets up her tent near Los Angeles City Hall. A pest control company warned that the homeless created harborage for rodents. When faced with complaints earlier this year from city workers about its rats infesting L.A. City Hall, Most city officials have said little about whether the problem was connected to several homeless camps right outside. But a newly uncovered report from a pest control company hired by the city has raised fresh questions about whether officials wrongly downplayed that possibility during discussions at city council meetings. Melanie, now let's think about third world nations. Think about that. And rats infesting City Hall because people outside City Hall are living in homeless conditions. Is that not a third world condition? Is that not what that is? Is that what it breaks down to?
Well, it does. And you know, the sad thing is there is no one doing anything about it. You know, sometimes stuff happens. These things, you know, you see the homeless increase and so forth, but what do? There's no one answering any questions as far as what can we do. And you have all that wealth in California.
Yes.
All that wealth. And what do they do with it? Do you think they're going to help the homeless?
And California is one of the most liberal, and I say liberal in the way of socialist. It's a state where illegals can come to freely and move in and take over, which causes more people out to be out of work and puts more weight on the taxpayers to keep this thing running. The economy's collapsing there. As a matter of fact, some of the cities I just read 2 minutes ago, 2 or 3 of them in California. So now we're seeing the homeless pop up, rats coming in, taking over City Hall. These are four-legged rats this time. So we're seeing what's happening to nations that turn away from God and from free enterprise and what's going on. We see what's happening, Melody, and our nation is going to suffer because of that. It's going to get worse every day. There's no way I can see it turning around. The fiat currency has already destroyed this country, has it not?
That's correct.
I don't have much clear to make that. I don't have much clear to make it. It's already destroyed the country economically. There's no turning back on this now. There's no way they can stop this from going on down. It's going to collapse. And the first large group from Africa wades across the Rio Grande into the U.S. Now, this is from Angola, Cameroon, and Congo, wade across Rio Grande River in the United States, and they got on video. The video shows male and female adults walking through the water and into Texas, several with children on their shoulders. From Africa, again, please, Mel, tell me how they got from Africa to Mexico. If they can afford that, why can't they afford to come in the United States legally?
Well, I have no answer.
I don't think they do either. But does anyone else ask this question of any consequence? Are there no authorities that were say that are up in government high enough to say how this work? And how did they come back across the northern border? If they get to Canada, how come they can't come in legally? Does anybody ask these questions?
Legally does not enter anybody's mind. If you mention legal to some of these diehard liberals, bleeding heart liberals for nice term, I mean that kindly, it's all these poor people. They're just coming here for a better life.
But if they're so poor, how they
come here legal?
But how do they get to Canada? How do they get to Africa? I mean, to South America, to Mexico, from Africa. If they're so poor, how did they get there?
Yep.
People, please think. Think. I know it's a lost cause and a lost art, but think. God gave you a brain to reason things through. When we no longer can read, write, and reason, we're finished. And that's the truth. And now they're coming out, by the way, with a new boundary, I guess you say, on voting technology. Soon, you can vote by phone. I'm not making this up. This is for real. And it could be coming as early as next year in some places.
2020?
Yeah. Yeah, really. To vote by phone. Now, that would be a safe way to do it, wouldn't it? No fraud there. Instead of getting better, it's getting more insane every day. Instead of going to paper ballots and hand counts like he was at one time that really can't count a little bit, we know computers are programmed, but now they're going to do it by phone, Melody. There's no way that could be hacked, is there?
Oh, absolutely not. I wonder if you're going to be allowed to make 3 or 4 votes like they do on all these call-in shows, you know, these reality programs. Well, you can vote 3 times. Well, you remember FTD, right? It's the flower company. You've heard of FTD?
Yes.
They filed for Chapter 11 yesterday.
Oh, no.
They had a rough Valentine's Day, and they're going to break the business into pieces. And they have failed to turn a profit in 4 years. So they sold its North America and Latin America businesses, including Pro Flowers, to an affiliate of Nexus Capital for $95 million. It sold its Interflora business in the UK to a subsidiary of the wonderful company for $59.5 million. And the other businesses, including Pro Flowers, Sherry Berries, and Personal Creations, they're going to continue to operate. And they're online. They sell flowers online, and I guess they're not doing too well.
FTD was the biggest one, too. It was huge.
FTD, yeah.
Yes, it's the biggest one. Wow. It is amazing. Well, things certainly are changing in our country, Melody. Changing very quickly every day. And, folks, if you want stability, you better call Melody. If you want anything guaranteed to be worth something out of this whole mess, you need to call Melody. And you need to do it, like, right away. It's easy. 800-375-4188. Phone call's free. She'll give you advice for free. Call and talk to her.
All right. Thank you, Butch. We'll be here. Oh, you'll be back Thursday.
Thursday.
But we'll be here tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here with Dave and Wendy. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.